From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns brings another portion of a message entitled, The Glory of the Cross. Facing the cruel death by crucifixion, the Lord Jesus Christ, in John chapter 12, exhibited an expectation of glory through his sufferings. The joy that lay before him was the joy of redeeming lost souls by the shedding of his blood. Nowhere is the love of God revealed more fully than in the cross of Christ. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns reports today's hot topic, street preaching condemned as disorderly conduct in which city?
Last Halloween in Salem, Massachusetts, self-styled Witch City, Michael Markavage and a few others went into the crowded streets to preach the gospel and to warn people against the dangers of witchcraft. Markavage had a microphone and a small sound system. The city's ordinances clearly state that the use of such equipment is lawful within certain hours for non-commercial purposes. Markavage met all the statutory requirements to use his sound system. Nearby, some street performers were also using a sound system and without let or hindrance. However, the police moved in to stop the preaching of the gospel. A police lieutenant, Paul Lemelin, tried to remove the microphone from Markavage's grasp, and failing to do that, physically laid hold of the preacher, wrestled him to the ground, took his microphone and arrested him on a charge of disorderly conduct. The prosecution offered to drop the charge if the arrested preacher agreed to pay $100 court costs. He refused, and the case went to trial. It should have been an open-and-shut case. Markavage had broken no local ordinance. He had caused no riot. He had exercised his right to free speech. The only illegality that took place was that perpetrated by the Salem police. The real crime was their denial of a U.S. citizen the freedom to exercise his constitutional rights. Despite all the evidence to the contrary, when the case recently came to court, the judge found against the defendant and condemned his street preaching as disorderly conduct. This is an alarming case. When the police are free to break the law and Christians can be found guilty when they have committed no crime, we have a serious situation. When a judge can declare the preaching of the gospel in the streets of an American city disorderly conduct, and remember, this was not because of noise pollution, for other street performers were permitted to make as much noise as they wanted without police intervention. We have cause to be deeply concerned. Contrast what happened a few years ago in San Francisco, when a crowd of homosexuals attacked a Baptist church because it had invited a speaker to come to one of its services to show the Bible's teaching on homosexuality. The sodomites hurled missiles at the church. They besieged it and held the congregation hostage in their own sanctuary. All the while, the police stood by. They made no arrests and excused their cowardly capitulation to the sodomite gang by saying that the protesters were exercising their constitutional rights. There's no constitutional right for anyone to assault or intimidate. But that was what the police story was. However, when it comes to a street preacher lifting up his voice to quote scripture and to tell men of the grace of God in Christ and of his wrath against evils such as witchcraft, it's a different story. We are sadly living to witness a general despising of the gospel. Again and again we hear from leftist commentators that Bible-believing Christians are the real danger in America. Some have placed us on a par with Al-Qaeda. I suppose we should be grateful that the far left realizes that Christians are the real threat to their godless agenda. However, when the courts of justice are perverted into courts of injustice and persecution, and our police protectors become bullies, we must lament that America is in danger of stomping out the very liberty that made her great.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Light spiritually without darkness, truth without error. Here you have the concentration of all the light of Scripture, all the light of prophecy. You have it concentrated on this one point, the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, it was the hour of His glory. The cross shows His glory because of the reconciliation which it publishes. This is the central message of the New Testament. The cross spans the gap between heaven and earth, between God in His holiness and the sinner in his depravity. The cross of Jesus Christ touches heaven and it touches the sinner, and it reconciles them both in the body of the Redeemer. That's the teaching of the Apostle Paul. That's how Paul spoke of us being reconciled to God in the body of Christ. It's a strange way of speaking. At least it sounds a strange way of speaking to us. But in that very body crucified. And once you understand he's talking about the body crucified, it is not simply by the example or by the life or by the teaching of Christ. Those are all important preparatory things toward this mighty sacrifice. But without the sacrifice, they would have no saving or redeeming or reconciling value whatsoever. It is in the body crucified that God is satisfied and sinners are reconciled. It is the blood of the cross that makes us nigh to God. Thank God, when we look at the glorious character of Christ at the cross, we see it in the healing which Christ crucified brings. Throughout his life, he had brought healing. He had touched. He had spoken. He had given sight, hearing, power of limbs, and even life. Those are little sermons in action. But when you get to the cross, you have the shedding of a blood the blood of the Lamb of God that brings the greatest healing, the healing of the soul. Oh, let us never forget this. Jesus Christ was crucified in weakness. But in that weakest moment, what did he do? He spoke to the dying thief and he saved his soul. Again, an illustration, but a very potent illustration of what this is all about when he says, "Now's the hour when I'm glorified." If you want to see the character of Christ, his love, his righteousness, his truth, his reconciling and healing power, you get to the cross and you'll see him glorified. That death was resplendent with the glory of an intended success. In verse 24, he has these words, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." There is a general principle that's true in nature, it's true in your life, and it's true preeminently in the life of Christ. The general principle is, you cannot have a harvest unless there is a planting. And the planting can never produce life unless the seed that is planted dies. I know very little about horticulture. Just ask Mr. Gresham and you'll find that out. He looks after our gardens and tries to keep me as far away from them as possible. And he's a wise man. But as a little fellow, I had to do my share of it. That's why I don't like it. And I had to go out and dig and make rills and rows and plant things and then, worst of all, go out and weed them. Didn't mind so much going out to get the harvest. But we used to grow a lot of potatoes. You know, the Irish and potatoes. And we grew our own potatoes. And I always was, can still hear my folks, to me it seemed like yelling, but they weren't yelling. They were just constantly harping in my ear how you plant this potato. If you plant it upside down, you don't get a harvest. So you got to be careful. Keep planting the right way. And we did all this. And then they would say, my mother would say, go out there and dig up some potatoes. And when you dug up the potatoes, the potato from which this great crop, and we did have great crops of those potatoes, the potato from which they all grew was just a dead, rotting mass. That's all. But unless it died, it would abide alone, produce nothing. Now that's a general principle. It's one that you and I have to learn. And that's why the Lord Jesus went on to say that unless you're willing to lose your life, you'll not produce anything in life. This self-centered way of living that has become the very mark of the age in which we live, where nothing is important beyond the moment or how I feel, or what makes me look good or feel good. Nothing's of importance beyond that. Or importance beyond that. In this day and age, we need to learn afresh, unless you're willing to give yourself and die to self, you'll be useless spiritually. But the Lord Jesus is using it mostly of himself. He says, I'm willing to die to produce a great harvest. And what is the harvest? Verse 32. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. He said, I'm dying with my eye on producing a great and successful conclusion. And what is that success? Drawing all men unto himself. This is one of those occasions when you've got to recognize, and not getting into this in depth this morning, but you've got to recognize that the word all in Scripture is to be governed by its context. Very rarely means each and every person who ever lived. very rarely means that. It's a possible meaning, but it's very rare. Similarly is the word world. The word world is used in at least five different major ways in Scripture, and some subdivisions under some of those. So just trotting out the word all or world doesn't prove anything. When people come to you and tell you that the Lord Jesus intended to save everybody who ever lived and died equally and in the same way for everybody who ever lived, they're simply showing their ignorance of the use of the words of Scripture. I remember being in a home and telling a man, "You don't believe that Christ died for everybody who ever lived?" He said, "Oh yes, I do." I said, "I'll tell you something else, your preacher doesn't believe it either." "Oh, he does." I said, "There's not a preacher, a fundamental preacher in Greenville believes that." "Oh yes, there is. My preacher believes it." "No, he doesn't." "Yes, he does." "No, he doesn't." You know, such wonderful enlightenment as that. I said, "Well, look, tell me, where was Cain when Jesus died?" He said he was in hell. "Did he die for him?" "Ah." "Where were the people of the old world in the days of Noah when Jesus died?" He says they were in hell. "Did he die for them?" "Ah. Are you telling me he died the same way for Judas as he died for Peter? Because I want to ask you then, why is Peter in heaven and Judas in hell? But if you're telling me that nothing that Christ did makes the difference between going to heaven and going to hell, that it's something that Peter did or something that Judas did, then we have seriously different gospels." When Jesus said, "I will draw all men unto me," he used the word, to use the technical term, distributively. He meant all men in the sense of men of all sorts. When we're told to pray for all men, we're then given examples of kinds of men for which to pray, but there is no way that you're told to pray for every man who ever lived or every man who's in the world today, because there are some men for whom you are explicitly told not to pray. But the Lord Jesus is saying, what is he saying? He's saying, "I will be glorified in drawing men of every kind, of every class." Revelation 7, out of every tribe, every tongue, every kindred, every nation, "I will draw them unto myself." He's not saying, "I'm making it possible that they might perceive." He's saying, "I'm going to draw them. I'm going to bring them. I'm aiming at something here, and I'm going to succeed in what I aim at." Oh, do you want to see the glory of the cross? I tell you, and this is why I am what the world calls a Calvinist. This is why I believe in the particular redemption of God's people as the intended success of the death of Jesus Christ. This is why I believe he died particularly to save his people and not merely to make all men capable of being saved, but actually saving his people from their sin, because there is not the ghost of the shadow of a suggestion of failure in the death of Jesus Christ. What's the glory of the cross? It did precisely and exactly and entirely what God intended. Isaiah tells us, "He shall see of the travail of his soul and be disappointed." Is that what he says? "Lord, I tried to bring so many, but they didn't come. Lord, I tried to bring in millions more, and they're in hell today. I don't believe it." "He shall see of the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied." Bless God. The cross glows with the glory of its intended success. It glows with the glory of the revealed attributes of the Father. It's coming up to the cross, and in this very context that Jesus said, Father, I'll not ask you to save me from this hour, but I pray, glorify thy name. Father, in this cross, manifest the glory of your own divine being. The Father said, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. When you get to the cross, oh yes, you see the love of God because He provided for Himself a lamb. You see the justice of God. Never let it be said that because God is a God of love, He will wink at sin and simply say to the sinner, I'll forget about your sin and bring you into heaven. Never fall for the devil's lie that because God is a God of love, sinners cannot go to hell. Sinners cannot perish. Remember when the Son of God took our sin in His own body on the tree, God visited Him with divine wrath and divine punishment, and made Him to be sin for us. There you see the justice and the holiness and the power of God, His faithfulness to His promise, His ability to save, all displayed at the cross.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.